Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I misspoke, by the way. Raiders pick at 4, not 3. Sports Daily continues here on a Tuesday. Shane and Bruce with you. Talked a little bit about the draft. It's coming up on Thursday night. We talked a little AFC West. And we've got some adds, losses, wants, needs from teams in the AFC West. Bruce, you want to go by team or by order?
Whatever you want, Shane. Okay. Whatever you want.
Okay.
I'm good.
Well, let's go order then. Because right. Raiders pick first in the West, which would be fourth. And I'll bounce some things off of you and give you a, get a true or false from your assuming nobody makes any trades. Okay?
Okay. All right.
Do you agree that Kyler Murray and Nick Bosa will be gone in the first two picks?
I think Kyler Murray is, and I know what Ross Tucker said yesterday, I'm not as confident as he might be. So, but I do think Bosa will be gone in one of the first two picks. Yes, I do.
Okay, what about?
But yes, I would say a your calculated bet would be that those two guys are gone in the first two picks.
What about
yes.
Kentucky edge rusher Josh Allen?
Well,
Jets pick third.
I think that makes the most sense.
Okay, I think we're in agreement then. So, at four, it is 100% possible that the Raiders can't screw this up. Unless they, well, I guess that's too many qualifiers. Quinnen Williams, defensive tackle from Alabama. He would be there if that's the case. Devin White, linebacker from LSU. He would be there. Ed Oliver. He would be there. Now, let's go back and take a look at who we think that, not who necessarily, but what they need. Defensive lineman. Cornerback, linebacker, almost all of it's on the defensive side of the ball.
Sure.
And if you want to stretch it a little bit, running back. All right. Quinnen Williams, if Josh Allen is there, if Devin White is there, and Christian Wilkins, a defensive tackle from Clemson. Pretty much dummy proof. Whoever the Cardinals, 49ers, and Jets don't take, you got your pick of the litter there. And then if you really want to reach, which the Raiders are known for, maybe Montez Sweat. The guy from Mississippi State, who's just a freak of nature. He is 6'6", 260, and runs a 4.41. Yeah. So, If you're Mike Mayock, what do you do at four? Any of those defensive guys, or you just go totally Raiders and pick somebody different?
You know something? I think Mike Mayock makes the Raiders not totally Raiders anymore.
But how much influence is John Gruden going to really allow him to have?
And that's a great question. And I don't know about the dynamic between the two. I know they sent their scouting staff home, which is Raider-esque, certainly. But don't you generally trust Mike Mayock after, and I mean, it would be based, like me, on after all these years listening to him as an analyst. I thought he was one of the most intelligent analysts in the NFL. It didn't surprise me, or I didn't do even the slightest double take when the Raiders made him their GM. You would think that the relationship that he and Gruden have would be good because you know that that move couldn't have been made without Gruden's totally being on board with it. So I think that they'll probably play on need, and their need is generally either on the defensive front or the linebacking core, I think is probably. I mean, they're one of those teams that have needs everywhere.
Yeah, they do.
So you can say, well, they need maybe an interior defensive lineman, or they need an inside backer, a three down backer. But hell, they need players all over the place. Mm-hmm. So you pick your best player, and realize that you've still got two more picks in the first round, and your goal is very straightforward. You get three guys that you can plug and play in this first round. I mean it.
Yep.
And I think the Raiders can do that. I think the Raiders have a chance to make the biggest jump this year. That's not saying much. But I think that they have a really good capacity to make a pretty good jump this year because they're just going to get such an infusion of talent.
They had 13 sacks last season. That was 17 fewer than any other team in the league. The low-hanging fruit here is, so why did you trade Khalil Mack to start with? But they did. So if Josh Allen from Kentucky, who had 17 sacks by himself last year, or Devin White from LSU, who was a Butkus Award winner, first-team All-American, sideline-to-sideline guy, those are two guys like you talked about that immediately you could plug and play and wouldn't have to worry about. So there's a couple options there at number four for Oakland. All right, your guys are next. Broncos at 10. One of the mocks that I'm seeing, and I'm actually looking at a consensus mock from three guys on CBSSports.com. They all have Drew Lock going number 10. Now, before you respond, the Broncos added Joe Flacco, and that was pretty much the only offensive player they added. They lost Bryce Callahan, Kareem Jackson, Juwan James. Those are the other adds they had, sorry. Key losses, Case Keenum, a lot of offensive linemen. Matt Paradis, Jared Valdir, Billy Turner, Max Garcia, all those guys are gone. And a fair amount of back-end defensive players, too, including Brandon Marshall, Darian Stewart, Tremaine Brock. Offensive line, linebacker, tight end, cornerback. Those are quote-unquote needs. That being said, Drew Lock, or should we go deeper diving somewhere else?
It's not going to be Drew Lock. And I would be pretty much done with them if they went with Drew Lock, even though the word is that John Elway is enamored with him, spent time with him at the Senior Bowl, blah, blah, blah. This football team is not close enough to be drafting a player with the 10th pick that it could be potentially an impact player. They can't afford to draft a player there that they're going to wait on for 2 years. They don't have that luxury. They've got to get better across the board. They do not have a three-down linebacker on this football team. Todd Davis is a tackling machine, but he's a two-down linebacker. Josie Jewell is a really good football player, but he's a two-down linebacker. They don't have an inside linebacker that can cover, which would lead me to... because I don't think Devin White will be available.
What about Devin Bush from Michigan?
That's probably where they go.
Okay.
And if they don't go that direction, I think they'll go to Hawkinson, the tight end from Iowa.
You know, and there are a bunch of really good tight ends in this draft.
Mm-hmm.
But when you talk about the elite tight ends, Gronkowski and Kelsey, I think that's way too risky to expect one of these guys to become the next one of those two guys. Hawkinson's good. I get it. Noah Fant's good. I get it. Irv Smith's good. I get it. But what would make a tight end, just between you and me, what would make a tight end worth it to take him in the first round? How many catches? 60 or 70? 50 or 60?
Yeah, any 50. I think if you're in the low to mid 50s and or above, but it also depends on your quarterback, your offensive game plan, and then your receiving core. In Denver's case, for instance, you have Joe Flacco, who is a pocket passer and a drop back quarterback who has lived with good tight ends. From Owen Daniels to others over the years, he's had guys that he can depend on. So you're going all in on Joe Flacco, whether that's right, wrong, or indifferent, remains to be seen. But you've got to put pieces around him, And then you're going with a very young receiving core. Demaryius Thomas is gone, now signed with the Patriots after his brief time with the Texans. Emmanuel Sanders is coming back off of Achilles, so you don't know what his explosiveness is going to be. So what you're left with is a very inexperienced, potentially good playmaking group, but a still relatively inexperienced group led by Courtland Sutton, who had a four-game kind of test drive as the number one receiver at the end of last year and really, you know, didn't do much with it. I mean, I think that he has great upside, but really didn't do much with it. So now you're left with, you better have a piece of the puzzle. And the piece of the puzzle at tight end is if you can go get the best, what is considered to be, in TJ Hockenson, the best tight end in this class, that is that's arguably the deepest class of position of any team, of anything in the draft, then you probably go get him. There are people that think that TJ Hockenson might be the best player in this draft. I don't prescribe to that, but if he can be that kind of guy, and he's a plug-and-play kind of guy, and he makes your offense, which was not very good and hasn't been very good, really for the last 4 years, but if he makes it appreciably better, then that would be probably a good backup plan. I would say inside linebacker if you can get one of the Devons or tight end for the Broncos.
Okay. Moving on. Chargers. They pick right in front of the Chiefs. Chargers at 28. And just like the Broncos and the Raiders, most of their needs seem to be on the defensive side of the ball. Cornerback, linebacker, defensive tackle. The only additions they made in the offseason were linebacker Thomas Davis and Tyrod Taylor, backup quarterback. They lost Tyrell Williams and Antonio Gates, two offensive players. They also lost three defensive linemen, two cornerback and a safety and a linebacker. So it would appear they need corner linebacking help or defensive tackle help. And while we probably care about the Chargers least among the four AFC West teams, we'll at least give them a cursory nod at 28. A guy like the kid from Temple, who I actually like for the Chiefs at 28, his name's Rakia Sin, defense as cornerback for Temple. He figures to be there. The consensus mock on CBSSports.com has a defensive lineman named Jeffrey Simmons from Mississippi State, a wild card being N'Keal Harry, the wide receiver from Arizona State. So whoever they pick, they're right in front of the Chiefs at 29. And the Chiefs need, it's pretty much clean sweep, isn't it? Everybody in the AFC West kind of needs defensive help first and foremost.
Yeah.
You know, the Chiefs added Tyrann Mathieu, got Emmanuel Ogbah as a defensive end, Alex Okafor, defensive end, Rashad Breeland, cornerback, Damian Wilson, linebacker. Those are the adds last year. Now, obviously, the subtractions were kind of eye-popping. Justin Houston, Dee Ford, Alan Bailey, Steven Nelson, Eric Berry to some degree. Eric Murray was the guy they traded for Ogbah. So, and of course, the guy that got most of the criticism, Bob Sutton, is gone. So now you actually have to replace him with real live players. The kid from Temple, Cleland Farrell, defensive end from Clemson. It was a Ted Hendricks Award winner, given to the nation's best defensive end. He was the ACC Defensive Player of the Year. Greedy Williams. This is an interesting guy that is going anywhere from 10th and sliding all the way down to the Chiefs, the cornerback from LSU. If either Greedy Williams or DeAndre Baker from Georgia slide to Kansas City, I think that would be steals right there. Now, everybody's got a mock, and everybody's got them going either before or after, so who knows if it'll really be there. But two of the better, higher-profile defensive cornerbacks in particular, DeAndre Baker had two interceptions and 10 pass breakups. allowed a 45.5% completion rate in coverage last year out of the SEC. And then you got Greedy Williams, who was a Thorpe Award finalist and 8 interceptions his last 2 seasons playing in the exact same conference. I say cornerback. What say you for the Chiefs? Elsewhere?
Is Dexter Lawrence a possibility for them, maybe?
Yes.
Or because possible. I love...
He is 24th on the big board that I'm looking at, so that's borderline. So maybe.
Yeah, that is borderline. I mean, I think the Chargers like him, too. I mean, because if you can get better push inside with Bosa and Ingram on the edges, that makes the Chargers appreciably better. You know, I don't... Defensively, you can go pretty much all over the. You could go safety.
Yeah,
the kid from his name escapes me. The kid from Alabama.
Well, there's a kid from Washington named Taylor Rapp who's pretty good.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, who's fairly highly regarded. They have and Washington has a corner too named Murphy.
That's true.
That's a pretty good player as well.
Jerry Tillery, defensive tackle, Notre Dame. He'll likely be there for Kansas City if you want to go D-tackle. I wouldn't mind, even though this is not as fun or sexy, to see your first-round pick be a Dexter Lawrence type or defensive tackle, just a run stuffer. That wouldn't hurt my feelings if I'm a Chiefs fan. You know,
it's not sexy, but all it is good. You know, I mean, it's just, it makes
safe.
You so
it's
much
safe
better.
Safe is what it is. Go safe
yes.
here.
I mean, my God, you just want to be, that's where you really want to be good. And so, I mean, I love a player like that. I love an interior player that can clog up the middle and, you know, for the Chiefs and, But it better be on the defensive side of the football. Now, this is all based on the thought that Tyreek Hill is going to be a part of this thing moving forward. I need more information on the whole Tyreek Hill situation.
And what if he's not? How about you go receiver first round?
Well,
I mean, you got that big kid from Iowa State, Hakeem Butler, who's a physical freak at 6'5". I don't know about A.J. Brown or the kid from Mississippi. There's 2 kids from Mississippi, actually, from Ole Miss. A.J. Brown and what's the dude that just went crazy at the combine? Got initials. D.K. Metcalf.
Oh, yeah,
those
D.K.
two
Metcalf.
Guys...
Yeah.
You got Paris Campbell, who's basically a track star at Ohio State. I'm not trying to poke fun, just because he was one of the fastest guys in the draft. And Hollywood Brown, Marquise Brown from Oklahoma, even though he's only about 170 pounds. I would just assume at 28, the Chiefs go interior defensive lineman, whoever fits their new scheme best. I'll leave that to Steve Spagnuolo and, you know, for them, and I'll trust them if they take a defensive tackle or a lineman. And if they do, I'll be fine. Forgot about Oakland at 27.
Yeah.
They at 24 and 27 kind of skipped over them. Maybe Josh Jacobs, a running back from Alabama. Although if they went defense, 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 if I were a Raider fan, I wouldn't be upset at that either.
No.
But if Josh Jacobs is there at 27, he seems to be one of the best. Running backs in the first round, they become more and more over the years kind of iffy, right? There's no, you can get a running, you can get a decent running back way late.
I just don't think you need to use first round picks on running backs unless you get the Zeke Elliott's.
Yes.
You know, I mean, the guys.
Saquon
fit,
Barkley.
Right. I mean, you know, those are guys that obviously are generational, and if and as long as they work in your offenses, and you don't have to change much, then yeah, that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
But I would agree. I think you can get guys later.
One of the mocks I have has Josh Jacobs from Alabama going first, the first one anyway, but all the way down at 24 to the Raiders, and if not him. No running back will go in the first round. if the Raiders don't take him. Now, this is just according to a mock draft, but it gives you the, you get the idea. You know, we can get you can get running back value quite a bit later than the first round. I see a lot of good players in the first round, and hardly any of them are running backs. And to be honest, there aren't all that many wide receivers. Looking at cornerbacks, defensive tackles, a few offensive linemen, couple of tight ends, like you talked about, between Hockenson and Noah Fant. And there's another couple that if you want to kind of reach a little bit. But for the most part, it's a non-sexy, just need-based, let's either protect the passer or clog the defensive line type of picks in the first round.
I would agree. There's really only four receivers that I think are intriguing.
I think they're all dangerous. I think they're all risky, yeah, too.
I mean, yeah, they are, absolutely. I mean, A.J. Brown has got,
first-round talent.
None of them jump. I mean, when Marquise Brown is anywhere from the second or third greatest wide receiver, and you're talking about 5'9", 165.
Yep.
Now he could be I don't know if he's got the muster to be a really good slot receiver, because he's got 4.35 speed. So I mean, he can fly, but I don't. Yeah, it's not a great receiving core, is it? Really, when you get right down to
risky.
Yeah, DK Metcalf at the top of the rung, he's even risky too.
Absolutely, he may be the riskiest one of the bunch.
Yeah, absolutely. Talking about a guy that's been injury prone, and hasn't been a great pass catching, dependable pass catcher.
Played seven games in 2018.
Yeah,
seven games.
So anyway, so it goes. All right, we continue here in a moment. 10:22. Shane and Bruce with you rolling along. We're back in 1 minute as we get to the NBA, three closeout games, and a game five tonight. Back in a moment.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.